into the mic.
I keep echoing them. One is that, once again, the coordinating committee is not the executive committee, and the bylaws clearly state that. We're supposed to just meet and coordinate information requests, but increasingly that committee has been leaned upon, particularly during the interim period, to begin to monitor, you know, what contracts are over $10,000 now, any major hires or fires. And I am a little concerned that whoever the interim candidate is not unable to operate because they come in unable to sign anything, do anything, or even, you know, tell somebody to, you know, do something without calling up the coordinating committee. And we have to be careful here that while we definitely have to have some controls in 120 days to make sure nothing weird happens while we're looking the other way, I'm hoping this is going to be a trusting relationship we develop with whoever that candidate is. But I do want to be careful that we don't overburden the coordinating committee, which I am also a member, but that we also don't overburden the interim ED with check-in points.
Dave?
Yeah, the bylaw, the issue of information requests and the coordinating committee's role in it is not part of its original purpose. That came out of our creating a communications policy. The bylaw says it's responsible for coordinating the activity of the board, and that includes, as far as I understand, the regular communications between board meetings with the executives about what's going on. I think major positions basically means general managers or a national program director or coordinator. I don't know that we need to pass a motion. What the reason that the coordinating committee didn't deal with it is we recognize that we're not going to be at that point between now and, for example, our next telephonic meeting. So maybe we don't have to spend more time on it right now. I think it's generally recognized that we wouldn't want that person making such hires. I hear what Bob's saying about including firing in that. But the major positions seem to me to be the unit managers and the a national program director / coordinator when and if we approve it.
Yes, Lonnie.
Well, that one part of the motion that I'm just realizing is there, that it includes the general managers. It is not just the IED and not just the CFO. That motion, as I understand it, also includes the general managers. And they're included in the motion. Is that accurate?
Well, my intent was that the coordinating committee would recommend who it includes, but I think it would be, I would agree with Dave, it would be pretty obvious that general managers would be among the categories that would be covered by this, yes.
No, I was referring to whether the general managers and the conduct of station business would be required under the motion to submit to 10,000.
I didn't read it that way, no.
Yeah,
just want
to be clear.
No.
Okay. So
they're saying that you cannot, the interim person cannot fire a general manager or hire a general manager if they define it that way.
Yes.
We might want to have a policy. Right now, an ED takes candidates that a LSB recommends and picks the one they want to hire, and the ED has the power to terminate people, although with a proviso of a board involvement. And the question was just an open question of whether we need anything else in this period. We didn't have any agreement on it, so we said, it's not imminent, let's table it. That's just where we are now.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Upon our information. I'm just going to put a hypothetical out there. What if during this 3 or 4 months of the IED's tenure that some general manager does something very, very outrageous stuff and the IED cannot fire him? So where does the authority rest? Does that come back to the PNB and the PNB fires the person? Or who does it? Mr.
Coordinating committee, Bob, want to respond to?
I can read from the bylaws on the subject because they're pretty clear.
Well, you know,
the bylaws are pretty clear, but what you're suggesting now is not pretty clear.
Oh, you're asking under my motion?
Yes.
Okay. So right now the bylaws say that in the case of a general manager, either the LSB or the executive director can initiate the firing process, but both have to agree in order to accomplish it. if one or the other party disagrees, it gets thrown to the PNB, and the PNB makes the decision. That's the bylaws. So,
Point of order,
yes.
Mr. Chair. We have exhausted our time for the coordinating committee, mm-hmm. and so I believe that all new motions should be made at our next meeting because there is no more time to make them here.
Anyone agree to that?
Yes.
Good. Let's move to the next item, programming committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for my lateness. I brought a report, but I failed to pack it in my... So thanks to Lalani, I was able to replicate the document this morning, and I apologize for any disrespect to my fellow members of the board for the lateness of this report. For those of you who follow the regular meetings, you know that the programming committee's regular meetings on the third Thursday of each month have been taking place since April. This is posted on the Pacifica site and the KPFTX site. I'd like to also express the appreciation of everybody on the programming committee to Otis McClay and John Almella for all of their technical support and to Preet Karakas for his web work. We have established two working groups that are looking into two of the more controversial ongoing problems of programming. One deals with the core of national programming. I would ask everybody in the Pacifica family to bear in mind the statistic that one program, Democracy Now!, which we no longer produce, generates about one out of every $4 that we raise. Okay? It's a good program. It's mission-driven programming, but it's no longer produced by Pacifica. And that fact has a lot of implications for the future of this organization financially and in terms of our ability to meet the mission. So we have one group that's meeting on core national programming. Another group is looking at program evaluation, the local manifestation of anxiety about how do I get a new program on the air, how do I keep my existing program on the air. And I'm happy to say that some of the documentation we've had from Houston and from Berkeley, from here at KPFA, has been very enlightening, so we're carrying that work on. I think in some ways the most important work we've done revolved around a telephone call that we had in May with the general manager of KPFK, Eva Georgia. The topic of discussion was how we as a network are going to work in implementing the resolution that came out of the race and nationality resolutions that decreed that there would be a daily international Spanish language newscast. Now, for some of us, this is a long time coming. It's decades behind the time. But as you know, any new national programming in Pacifica is going to generate controversy and opposition. We were fortunate to have Eva's cooperation on the call. One of the things that came out of that, we've asked the national office to please schedule a telephone conference call so that Eva can review the issue of the international Spanish language newscast with all of the general managers and program directors of the Pacifica stations as soon as possible. We can't develop a new national program without making it a collaborative effort. So if we can't get the support of the general managers of the local stations and their program directors, and we bring this program onto air, we're going to hear people screaming and yelling that you didn't consult us, we don't want to carry it, it doesn't meet our needs, we want to avoid that at all costs. So I would like to again thank Eva for being forthcoming. We didn't have to convince her. She came voluntarily. She spent as much time and answered as many questions as we had. In fact, I think we should have kept her on the phone a lot longer. But it is essential if we're going to get this newscast up and running and if we're going to work effectively with management in developing this vital program, we must all work together as a network and as a team. So I'd like to ask management to please help make that call effective so we can get on working on this together. We've also reviewed all of the resolutions that were passed by the board last year and referred to the programming committee in one way, shape, or form. I would like to additionally ask the chair and management, we can't be successful in developing the parameters or guidelines for national programming policy that affects the local stations or national or network broadcasts unless we get the full cooperation of managers and program directors. To date, the only program director that I've been able to get any response from is Ernesto Aguilar from KPFT. The only manager that I've been able to get interested in working with the program committee so that we can include their input and experience in developing these guidelines has been Eva Georgia from KPFK. So I'd like to ask each of you here that's a station manager or a program director, please, we won't make mistakes if you help us. If you don't help us, if you're not involved in our deliberations, I'm not sure you're going to like the things that come out of our committee, and we absolutely want to be able to work with you. So I would make that appeal again for collaboration in everything that the program committee touches. So that really concludes my report, Mr. Chair, and I would like to thank you very much for your indulgence.
Thank you for its shortness. Mark, and yes.
Okay, I had a question. One of the things you said in trying to get the coordinating the Spanish language, one of the things that came to mind is I think it was in October, I guess, at our D.C. meeting when we're going to refer to the programming committee the question of a national program coordinator hire. And, of course, that's died on the vine. It seems to me that would be critical for some of this coordination. I'm wondering, has the program committee discussed that, and when will you be recommending to us what we should do so maybe we can get an FY06 budget if necessary?
Thanks, Mark. We haven't dropped it. I think there are a number of issues. I sent an email out. We tried to convene a specific working group to deal with that topic. There are about 10 issues that we're trying to consider. I think one of the issues for that position involves the nomenclature. My sense is that there would be much less this position would be seen as less of a threat if we referred to it as a network programming coordinator as opposed to a national programming director. There has been a tendency in the past for programming to get developed that the local stations have no input on, and they've been asked to carry it at times, which, you know, conflicts with their schedule. So there's a great deal of resistance at a number of different levels in the family to that. But I think we can overcome that issue. We're going to, again, as I said, if we can't get the support of the Administrative Council and of management, we're never going to get all of these issues resolved. I think it's essential that we have a position like this. I think one of the things that we're going to hear more about is the fact that we have to be able to raise a national voice on some of the issues that threaten our communities. We cannot do this. We can't cover Congress. We can't deal with the attack on organized labor. We can't deal with the attacks that are taking place against tribes, against Native Americans, against immigrants, against Muslims, unless we are willing to raise our voice as a network. And the only way we're going to resolve some of these ongoing controversies is if we get everybody in the family to the table to talk about how we do that. Thank you.
Ray?
Rob, thank you for your excellent report. I'd like to have some clarification. It's clear that both the intent and the language, I'm addressing it to Rob, and I seem to be temporarily distracted.
Needs your attention.
Excuse me, Ray.
That's no problem. Both the intent and the specific language of the resolution putting forward the creation of that, the Spanish language, recognize the necessity to involve all the stations. But I remember that there was some tension around that issue, and recognizing the work done from Berkeley, from KPFT. Sorry, I get one more stab at it. From KPFK. Decided it would be based there, but clearly coordinated. I'm not too sure. Can you clarify what the issues are? Are they actually existing now, or you've been trying to be proactive and prevent them from developing, whatever problem there might be?
Well, what we're trying to do is, and Eva can jump in and correct me if I say anything that's wildly inaccurate, but we have a program at KPFK which we think is a basic model for what an international Spanish language daily newscast would be like. However, we know that in order to put on something that takes advantage of all of the resources that we have at the stations, as well as free speech radio news, we have to get everybody on the same page. It's going to have some budgetary impact, but if it's collaboratively designed and produced, it's also likely to help extend our audience significantly into Spanish speaking audiences, which is what we want to do. But we have to make sure that in developing that, and this is what EVA wants. EVA wants to be able to talk to the other GMs and PDs. For example, there's a wonderful, wonderful labor reporter here at KPFA, a guy named David Bacon. And anybody that uses the Internet knows that David Bacon is almost single-handedly in this country taking on the attacks of the right wing against labor, not just in this country, but in South America and in Iraq. For example, this weekend he's got the Iraqi unionists, trade unionists, here speaking to the public. We need to make sure that somebody that's in touch with the labor movement in South America, like David Bacon, and the people that he works with at KPFA are involved in the development of that newscast, and that's really what we're trying to do. I think that it's going to work well. We also have to look at the budgetary implications. The resolution involved a budget, which involved staffing some people, and if we're having tough times now, we have to be very careful to know where that money is going to come from, and we also have to take a look before we say, no, we're not going to do something, to get a sense of whether or not what kind of revenue impact a Spanish language newscast may have in terms of broadening our membership base. But yes, we're trying to deal with those things. I don't think we're trying to hold anything up, but we do need everybody's collaboration and input before we put it on the air.
I just would like to finish by saying that I was unaware of that aspect of your report, so I hope that as you move forward that you coordinate with the National Committee of Inclusion to move this forward.
I'd like to ask a question of both programming and national media and inclusion. Has either group touched base with the National Council on La Raza for this?
Well, one of the – I'm not sure specifically. I would say that this is based in KPFK, where the Chicano community is very strong. The individual who's leading the program at KPFK is a Chicano. And so although not knowing specifically, I'm assuming that they will definitely be part of the mix.
The short answer from the programming committee's perspective is I've actually written an email to an official at the National Association of Hispanic Journalists trying to get some contact points from both them and from La Raza. We're sort of premature. If we start contacting them before the network has got a timetable and an outline, it may create some they may be skeptical if it takes us too long to get our act together. But, we're in the process of reaching out to groups like La Raza and NAHJ.
Mm-hmm. Wendy.
Okay, point of order. I just want to clarify, no motions have been made with this. You just gave the committee report. No motions have been made. Okay.
That's right. Wendy?
That's pretty much what I was going to say. I am very impressed with the work that the programming committee is doing right now. I think you're doing an excellent job, Rob. This all sounds really good to me, and I would love to talk about programming all day long, but we need to move on. There is no motion
here. We got 2 minutes.
And I say keep up the good work.
We got 2 minutes. Julie, you want to make?
Well, one of the suggestions that I wanted to make or, I guess, talk to the programming committee about is that should we, as a board, direct the IED to convene the administrative council to meet with the programming committee to begin to discuss or set up a timetable for moving some of these issues forward? Because it seems like that's kind of the next steps on your all's work. And so I wanted to see if you felt like that was in order, that we move the...
Absolutely. I think that the more we work together as a network, as a family, towards clearly articulated goals like the International Spanish Language Newscast, and get everybody that needs to be involved in being involved in the production of iconoclastic programming and uncompromising programming that meets the needs of our communities, that we're going to open up an energy from the public that's going to sweep away much of the squabbling and the unreadinesses that we have and the lack of trust around power. But I think that the faster we move, the faster we'll keep moving. You know, I think moving this network is a little bit like a shark in the water. If we keep moving forward, we'll survive. If we stop moving, we'll die. Thank you.
Point of order, is that a motion?
No, Jews make a motion.
I'll make it right now. It was a suggestion, and I wanted to get the feedback from the committee before doing that. So I move that the ED convene the Administrative Council to meet with the Programming Committee on major programming issues.
It's been moved and seconded. Question? Any objections? So moved.
Second that.
Just a quick comment on that, if I could. I just think it's incredibly critical to get the program directors involved. And if the program directors aren't involved, I don't think anything else should be done until they are involved. Because we're already producing national programming that the stations don't air.
I think I made it clear that it's essential to me, too, in my point of view. The PDs are just as important, if not more important, than the GMs, because they got to execute.
We now move to the audit committee.
Okay. Getting back, it went so fast. Was it moved without objection?
That's correct.
Thank you.
And she's preparing your motion.
Thank you.
Audit committee.
Is the audit committee ready? Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm the chair of the audit committee. And before I get to it, I would ask that Rob Robinson, LaVarne Williams, and William Walker come and get their packets. And I want to thank LaVarne Williams for helping. She actually did all this copying last night. Thank you so much. Okay. Where are the other two people? They're gone again. Okay. In your packet, you have the report. William Walker's, yes. Warren Williams. Okay. Oh, just hold on. Okay, this is a report to, and Mr. Chair, can you please keep the side conversations down? Report to the PMB from the Audit Committee. This is what the Audit Committee has done so far. The Audit Committee elected Donna Warren as Chair Pro Tem and Mary Berg from KPFA as Permanent Secretary. I should explain Chair Pro Tem for Donna Warren because she recently was elected as Secretary of the PMB, and she does not want to compromise her duties as Secretary of the PMB, so she's doing the best she can.
Okay.
The Audit Committee reports that we're missing a director from KPFT, and we asked the PMB to place another director on the Audit Committee. And I should also say at this time, although it's not in your report, that not quite sure of how many people are supposed to be on the Audit Committee from the different stations, listening stations. And we've done an analysis, and from WPFW, we do have a director, Ambrose Lane, and three delegates. From KPFA, we have a director, Sarv, and two delegates. From KPFT, we have no director and only one delegate. From KPFK, we have one director, me, Warren, and only one delegate. And from WBAI, we have one director, Bob Letterer, and only one delegate. So if we're supposed to have more than one delegate, we are sorely missing those delegates. Okay. That's for consideration for the PMB. The Audit Committee passed motions, and we decided that our meetings will take place on the third Wednesday of every month. And if there is no reason for us to meet, the chair or the secretary will send out a notice that the meeting has been canceled. But unless it has been sent out, we're going to meet. The Audit Committee also passed a recommendation that, and we understand that the PMB has to help us on that, on this, that the PMB adopt the following policy regarding membership on the audit committee, and that is that any member of the audit committee who has three consecutive absences, which are not excused by a majority of those present at the meeting, shall be removed, and their position may be filled by the same process by which it was originally filled. And that policy took effect starting with the May meeting. Okay. I also put just a little detail of a couple of the things that the audit committee is working through right now. We're considering asking the independent auditor to provide more detail in audit reports. We're looking at the new CPB radio, public radio station guidelines. And the Chair Pro Tem will present information on the value of annual audits at the five sister stations. Part of our analysis will include determining the scope of audit work, a cost estimate for the independent auditor or a salaried auditor, and searching for volunteers with audit experience. We're also looking at audit risk at not having an annual audit for each station. The other motion that we're considering is to request details of credit charges opened and closed by Pacifica. Either this request is for the independent auditor, an internal auditor, if hired, or the finance committee. Those two issues we're working through right now. But right now, what's before the PMB is that, at the very least, you provide a director from KPFT for the audit committee.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Teresa?
I nominate Joe Montes from KPFT on the audit committee.
And I second that.
Very good.
I accept.
Okay. Is there any other action you need for the board to take?
Well, Mr. Chair,
only for the different listening areas to consider that. Well, yeah, we want to know how many delegates from each station are supposed to be on the
two.
Audit committee.
Okay. One director and two delegates.
Okay, so only WPFW has fulfilled their obligation.
Oh, we always do that.
Well, no, that's not true. Wait a minute. And the great station of KPFA.
All right.
Okay. However, the other three stations are lacking, and KPFK needs another delegate, and WBAI needs another delegate.
Okay. Wendy had her hand up first, and then Bob.
Well, Teresa and I are both struggling to come up with a name, but we did elect another person at this last meeting of the KPFT board last Wednesday, and we will provide that to you. And I just wanted to remind everybody that actually that last year, the last year's PNB did pass a policy that said anybody on any PNB committee that misses three meetings in a row is automatically off the committee. So I'm really glad to hear the audit committee is doing it.
Bob, then Dave.
Just to correct the record, from the beginning of this year, committee, WBAI has had all three of our elected representatives. We have two delegates and myself as the director.
Dave.
Yeah, the board passed a motion asking that.
Give me that information, please.
The board had passed a motion asking that inter-unit transfers be audited, and I know there was some discussion about how that would happen, whether the auditor would have to go through all the documents or the staff was going to aggregate the documents and the auditors would just check off on it. But we're still waiting. I'm wondering what the status of that is and whether the audit committee has addressed that issue or whether it's somewhere else in the system.
I can answer that because I got a verbal promise from Ben Garcia that he was going to give that information to me tomorrow. I mean, on Monday, June the 20th. But just a couple of days ago, he said that he's going to have to ask for another delay because of trying to get the information together for the PMB. So I'm going to talk to Ben before the weekend is over to see when we're going to get a new date to look at those interdivisional transfers.
All right. Point of information.
Yes, sir.
Could you be kind of be kind enough to provide us that request that you have made there for inter-unit transfers, Dave? Yeah. And also, another question that I have is the scope of work as delineated in the bylaws of each committees. And if we are within that scope, it's very easy for any committee to assume all kind of responsibilities, but I think it's a good idea to stay within the scope that is in the bylaws.
Can I respond to that?
Yes.
Okay. The scope of work for the audit committee is, and I quote, an audit committee which shall oversee the annual audit of the foundation books and shall not include finance committee members. That's the scope of work. That is so sketchy. That doesn't really say too much at all. But in doing further research, an audit committee shall conduct a comprehensive self-evaluation on an annual basis. The self-evaluation can take different forms, involve a number of participants, and use diverse techniques. Most important, however, the self-evaluation should adopt a straightforward approach that will aid the audit committee in assessing its strengths and weaknesses and lay a foundation for future improvement. So right now, you know, we're kind of muddling through, but we're trying to decide what would be the best use for the audit committee. We don't want to step on the toes of the finance committee. We definitely don't want to do that. But we do want to work in with the finance committee to ensure that the safety and the health of the foundation is protected.
One information. Is this from the bylaws?
No. What I
what
read
she,
to you
what
from
she
the
first
bylaws,
read was directly from
an
the bylaws.
Audit committee shall oversee the annual audit and shall not include finance committee members. That's it.
Period.
It's bylaws.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark, then Dave.
One concern that I have is that continually we hear throughout the network dispersions regarding our fiscal soundness and our reporting and other possible wrongdoings that might be going on, even though we are audited on an annual basis. And somehow the idea that we are audited independently is not sunk into a lot of the Pacifica mythology. And so I'm wondering, with the audit committee, when you certify, do you deal with the auditor and do you issue a report to the Pacifica community saying that you have looked over this auditor and that the auditor is engaging in general accounting practices and also auditing practices? And, you know,
we have no opinion on the selection of the independent auditor. That, well, we already have an independent auditor.
Right, but when you interview the auditor, you do discuss with the auditor the procedures the auditor is employing in order to certify the books.
We did that during the mm-hmm. when we looked at
right.
the annual audit. We brought this up at the last PMB meeting.
Right.
We looked and made sure that, in fact, the report says it, and you have a copy of the report.
No, I understand, but I'm just saying that it would be nice if this committee issued something to the PMB written, not just the oral assurance, so that somehow that information can get out there that we are, in fact, audited and that the auditor does is you know, meets with the audit committee, et cetera. But
I think in answering that, we did do that, but the problem comes up in the audit committee is because we don't believe that the auditor is giving us the information that we need to look at these items. The auditor is reporting in accordance with AICPA standards. That's not enough for us. That's not detailed enough. And let me say this before, you know, you go on, Mr. Chair, that as, you know, I hate to fall back on my experience, but as an experienced auditor who did incur cost audits for the federal government for 15 years, an incurred cost audit would give you much more information about each expense that was incurred for the year. However, the auditor has told us, no, I'm doing this in accordance with AICPA standards, which is fine if that's what we're satisfied with. But there's too many questions about these items. You know, it keeps, in other words, it keeps coming up.
In other words, the committee, let me see if I understand this.
Okay.
You're saying that the committee has determined that there is additional work that an auditor for Pacifica ought to do. Is that what you're saying?
Not necessarily, because the auditor, Pacifica's auditor, already gets $80,000 a year.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're thinking that there may be other ways to add to his audit work. We're not saying that his audit work is not adequate. It is adequate in accordance with mm-hmm. certain regulations.
Right.
What we're saying is, because of all these questions that come up constantly, that the expenses themselves need to be looked at more carefully.
How do we get
detail.
To that?
Well, that's okay. That was one of the motions that I read that we're working on right now, where we're working through the following motions. We're considering asking an independent auditor to provide more details, or we're even thinking about asking the PMB once we get it, the cost analysis, looked at a little bit better mm-hmm. before we send it to the Finance Committee. We're considering asking for an internal auditor for mm-hmm. all five stations, a floating auditor. But those are things that are in process, and when mm-hmm. they get a little bit more concrete, we'll bring them before the board.
We appreciate your work.
Thank you.
Chair, I believe you called me.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Yeah, I just want to say how much I appreciate the work of the audit committee. I think it's wonderful that we have people with that kind
yep.
of experience. And also that they're taking their time to work through the realistic situation to get something that works for everyone. So I've had asked for a reading of the policy on inter-unit transfers. We passed this August 23rd, 2004. That's, 10 months ago. The PMB requests that in the next audit, that meant the audit that was due that fall, the auditor audit inter-unit transfers beyond those for central services since January 1st, 2002, and that the PMB not delay passing the FY05 budget pending this audit.
Can you reread
Rob?
That?
Thank you.
Can you reread that? Can you reread that?
You want to reread that?
Do you want me to reread
yes.
that?
She
yes.
does.
Well, I'm asking you. You're the
no.
chair.
Director, is this a motion or?
No, I'm reading.
It's not a motion.
I'm reading the text of a motion passed by the PNB August 23rd, 2004, that the PNB requests that in the next audit that the auditor audit inter-unit transfers beyond those for central services since January 1st, 2002, and that the PNB not delay passing the FY05 budget pending this audit. It passed 9 yes, 1 no.
Okay. Rob and then William.
I was just going to suggest to the Audit Committee that it seems to me that there are several fundamental issues that the Audit Committee and only the Audit Committee can pass judgment on. One has to do with the reports that are used by the Foundation to portray the activities and the financial posture of the Foundation over time. If those reports are not detailed enough, if they're not produced regularly, if they're not produced on a regular basis, monthly or quarterly, then we can't make intelligent decisions. The second thing has to do with the systems, the control systems, and the documentation that is used to account for the transactions that take place at the local level and the national level. You can indicate to the board to pass policy about how those records are kept, how the controls are put in place, and how often they are reviewed by the Finance Committee. You can also talk about the scope of work that's involved in the audit every year so that we can be confident that we're getting the information that we need to make decisions about the Foundation. If we, year after year, if the Finance Committee and the Audit Committee say everything is okay, and then at the same time, we on the board are saying things are not okay, but we don't have any systems in place, we don't know what the issues are, and I think we have members of this board that sit on finance committees and audit committees, do not look at the documents, do not ask the questions of the auditor or the staff, and then go on to say, we think that there is reason to believe that there is wrongdoing taking place. So what you really need to do, it seems to me, is to look at the reporting system, to look at the controls and documentation that's required, to look at the scope of work for the audit process on an annual basis, and if you don't do anything else, do those things for us. Because if that isn't fixed, we're never going to resolve this.
Point of personal privilege.
I agree with you.
Well, then do it. We are doing it. Put it in writing.
I'd like to.
Let's stop the dialogue. I mean, William, you have the floor.
I'm really tired of coming to meetings and having statements just reread and reread and reread. And if there's an issue where the audit committee feels that the audit person is doing a good job, but then there needs to be some system of evaluation. So I'd urge the committee to come up with a way to evaluate. Because if you're going to in one breath say that the auditor's doing a great job and then the other say that they're not meeting our requirements, then stop paying them. We don't pay people that don't meet our requirements. We set a threshold and we give them some time to meet our standard and give them a time period to get from where they are with, you know, what they're able to keep up with and what they're on top of to getting to where we need them to be. And if, say, if that time period's two fiscal years, they haven't caught up, then let's put another bid out because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chair, is there a time check on this?
Yes, it's about time for this report to be over. That's not what they're saying, William. We spent a whole hour. Please, we can't have cross conversation. We spent a whole hour with the auditor, and the auditor was asked every question that this board thought of. And it was clear that there was a clean audit through 2004. So that's not the question at all. Teresa, you had a
point of order?
Yes.
I'd like to ask that the chair ask members not to make attributions about other members' conduct on committees and such. The statement made by the member is actually inaccurate.
In fact, cross-conversation should not
But in general,
occur.
Statements by members like that should be ruled out of order by the chair.
Teresa?
My issue is that in his report of April 1st through 3rd, with Ross Wisdom, he did say, the audit is not designed to identify irregularities or fraud, and the audit committee could direct more investigation to be done in this area,
right,
which is what the committee is doing. If there are any irregularities that could be displayed by inter-unit transfers, then they have a right to ask for that report. I am personally confused as to why that report has not been produced, and when I asked our CFO, he gave me an explanation that has to do with time that's prior to 2002. I mean, I just really expected something that displayed inter-unit transfers since January 1st, 2002, and I don't understand why that has not been produced by Ben Garcia. As he just read, we're asking for inter-unit transfers from January 1, 2002 and beyond so we can see if there are any irregularities.
Mr. Chair.
I've asked the CFO to report. Please, conversation. I've asked the CFO to report on this interdivisional transfer matter during his report this afternoon. And it'll be historical as well, because we need to know how we got to where we are. And so let's leave that until this afternoon. It's very important. The audit committee has no action for us to take, right?
I've already asked, and you've already complied.
Thank you so much. We go to the National COI.
Mr. Chair, I'm still the governor of the committee. In spite of what William just said, I will repeat that this is a very vital committee. This is one of the glues that hold the system together. The scope of activity of the Committee of Inclusion truly goes to the core of what divides us and some of the key issues within our own society, really. That being said, we've had some difficulty functioning for a variety of reasons. One of them, I believe we are the smallest committee on the national board. We have basically there's one national board member from each listening area, so it's very easy not to have the quorum actionable. Also,
We have two members that, whose presence we respect, the chair and vice chair, but they're extremely busy individuals, so it's hard to ask them to carry on extra load. As a matter of fact, Ngozi and I were discussing that one of the notions that we might consider at some point is to broaden this committee to include local committee members. Now, conceptually, it's a little bit difficult because this committee was specifically created to look at broad issues when the local committees were looking at implementation and program and on the programming level, staffing, and so on. Anyway, so we met in April and in May, and we passed a series of resolutions. At this point, we could have, I guess, presented them to the board for approval. But I suspect that some of it would be quite academic because many of those resolutions to be implemented require both participation from the national office, and we've been involved in the transition period for a while there, and also require infusion of funds, which are apparently not available immediately. But the resolution passed include the call for immediate initiation of training, which we believe is vital to kind of redefining the very base of discussion in this institution so that we can increase sensitivity, awareness of issues. And this, again, calls for the resolution called for the national office to initiate it and to fund it. And this has not been done yet. So this resolution was passed in May on May 2nd by the committee. Also, following a proposal from the finance committee, the position of coordinator, the position was split into two separate positions, with one half position, an individual responsible for WPFW and WBAI, and a three-quarter position, an individual coordinating activities for KPFT, KPFK, and KPFA. Again, this would require the hiring of those individuals, and this has not been done yet, obviously. One of the problems we had in terms of funding those positions is that the initial resolution of the board had called for multiple sources of funding to be considered. There was a lapse there where the finance committee met a while back and was unaware of that mandate and considered only on-air sources of funding and therefore came up with what we believe were inadequate sources of revenue to fund those positions. We're talking about in the range of $20,000 and $30,000 salaries, which really are not adequate if we were to retain people who are experienced and allow them to function properly. And I don't believe it even included, I might be corrected on that, travel expenses that would be necessary for people functioning on a national level. I believe also it included something like 10% of that the salaries as in the form of benefits. We mentioned here there are other aspects of the other resolutions that were presented, that were passed by the board, that the committee did not consider yet. They include the National Programming Collective, which would specifically look at programming produced around the issues of diversity, the need for that, alignment about those issues, and also programming that would be interesting enough, hopefully, to create revenues and be used during fundraising periods and so on. Rob just mentioned another aspect that is also important of that, which is the Spanish Language Committee. At this point, because of the situation on the national level, in terms of interim national leadership at the national office and lagging funds, the last resolution presented, Mark is not here, by the governance committee, was kind of narrowed the focus at this point to training, but we had appealed to a broader addition to generally include NCOI recommended issues, and that was passed by the national board. So at this point, I believe that what we have to focus on is to initiate training as soon as possible, And also we're looking at the Blue Ribbon Commission, which will be made up of individuals from activists from communities, people involved in excluded communities, clearly individuals with expertise in the law and history of struggle within the civil rights movement in this country, to help us redefine the boundaries of structures to be created to facilitate and increase the speed of that process. So at this point, we don't have any formal resolution, and I apologize personally for some health issues that have prevented me from calling the last meeting. But it's clear that we have to move this agenda forward, and I hope that as soon as the interim executive director is appointed, we can contact as individual and get this back on track.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Yes, Bob, and then LaVarne.
As Secretary,
I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
I just want to ask the question, do I have a copy of your report?
No.
Oh, okay, I need
That's
a copy.
That's part of what I just apologize for.
Okay, just make sure I get a copy.
Bob, LaVarne, and Teresa.
Ray, can you clarify your reference to a resolution passed in early May about training? Can you specify what that resolution said?
Yeah, well, that's probably worth mentioning. The initial resolution passed by the National Board, I don't know if it's where you're getting at, call for the training to recognize the need not only to have feel-good training, but training that acknowledge power dynamics behind division and discrimination is exclusion. This committee had specifically had an additional prerogative be given to it, which is the opportunity to define national standards for these trainings before they implement it. So make sure that we speak the same language, that when training are done, that indeed people are on the same page.
Okay, so is there any reason why this board couldn't vote on that motion today?
Actually, none.
It's already been voted on.
No, not the follow-up motion that he just mentioned. That's recommended by the committee. So,
second.
You said that there were budget issues and national office issues, but that's a policy about how, whenever training happens, and hopefully sooner than later, it should follow some guidelines developed by the national by the National Committee of Inclusion, and those are guidelines, right? Not mandatory, not mandates, and they don't take away the local autonomy, right? Ray?
No, specifically don't.
LaVarne, Teresa.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would like to thank the report from Director Ray LaForest. I think that, you know, all of the report that you're talking about in terms of making the foundation more accountable in terms of race and nationality is something that we all strive for. But I think the national office really need to prioritize additional hires, headcount, because we do not have an HR director, and I think we were sort of reprimanded by some candidates. But that we do absolutely need an HR director, and that person I think would be a professional who would have the experience and the background to look at the very issues that you're talking about and know how to prioritize that, know how to really schedule those type of activities among the station and how to really determine what our resources are and if there is perhaps expertise in the stations or there's training in the stations where the GMs could actually work with someone or anyway, do a plan so that we would have a professional person versus the board itself trying to micromanage that type of activity that will be involved in all the stations. So, again, I think the national office must prioritize in terms of additional hires. We're looking at an HR director, and I think that person would definitely be responsible for that type of activity and that person needs to be on board to help to make those decisions, working with the committees to do that. Thank you.
Teresa?
I am opposed to voting on any resolution that might have to do with training if I don't have time to see it in advance. I also want to call to people's attention in the draft minutes from the January meeting, and the copy that's in the book I don't think goes as far as the race and nationality discussion on that Sunday, but it did. I mean, you mentioned in your report the issue of the two coordinators, and I would like to remind you that the motion that came out of the PMB reads. Let's see here. RAS. Had to do with, pardon me, here. The responsibilities of the National Coordinator for Race and Nationality Policy Implementation will be assigned to a Human Resources Director, and the qualifications desired incorporated in the search for that person. Pacifica's Human Resources Director will be trained and certified as an anti-oppression workshop trainer. The Human Resources Director will work closely with the Committee of Inclusion for implementation of related policies. Now, the Finance Committee went to a lot of work to talk about funding for these two coordinators when the National Board had already passed a resolution that we would view this work through the HR person. And in your report, you're still talking about two coordinators, somebody on the East Coast, somebody in the West Coast, occasionally working with Houston. I mean, historic, and if we look at the facts of what we passed at that meeting in January, it's within the HR person. So I hope that COI will get on track on that, because we can't have our committees, like our finance committee, going off on a tangent researching financing of two coordinators when we said it would be part of HR.
Actually, I don't agree with that. The coordinator was supposed to interpret independently of the hiring, because at that point we did not know when we would be hiring an HR person. And this is clear that, although as Levan just said, there would have to be coordination between them, and the HR person would definitely facilitate the work and be a central person, that what we approve actually is the principle. The notions behind it, that they would be coordinators, and we recognize the importance of having those individuals. So personally, I don't feel that one step, for example, I don't believe that we could not start the process with the coordinators if we had decided for whatever reason not to hire an HR person.
Point of order.
Now.
Actually,
sorry, go ahead.
I just want to let the board know that we only have about 5 minutes, 7 minutes left for committee reports, and we still have two committees that we need to get to, so we need to begin to wrap this up.
My point of order was to request that we move to public participation at the end of this report, and to move that we cut a half hour off of the lunch and put the election and finance committee reports into that.
Yep.
And
okay.
The half hour would be, so after public participation from noon to 12:30.
Any objection?
Mark, I'm doing this because we're at time, and we said public participation at time certain, so I said let's have that, and then we finish this after that, during that half hour of lunch. And the reason I'm doing this now is because I asked the chair if we could do that before, and he said, let us see how far we get before we consider that.
I have a quick comment about that, if I may.
Go ahead.
If the board, we started half an hour late because
many board members
did not arrive on time. If we then cut it a half an hour off of lunch to make time, but people come back a half an hour late, we're going to be moving further and further into the evening. I have other commitments this evening based on the schedule that was published. So my only comment is that if we change the schedule, let's meet it and behave professionally. So I support that motion, but I think it requires some responsibility on our part.
Thank you so much.
I wasn't finished. Actually, I decided to present a resolution, a motion. It's a short a resolution. Basically, what it does, it just updates from the last motion adopted by the board in January 2005 in L.A., that decides that that training would be allowed. The committee made the change to say that standard would be set by the national committee for the training specifically. So I will read the motion. Resolve that the ad hoc national committee of inclusion recommends that the PNB adopt the following motion to implement the earlier motion that I just mentioned. On training passed by the PNB. resolved that the Ad Hoc National Committee of Inclusion shall establish standards for anti-racism and anti-oppression training to be used by the executive director or interim and committees of inclusion in recommending and choosing trainers.
There a second?
This is a new motion?
What's the original motion? Okay. The original motion said resolve, it was passed in January, that the executive director is instructed to immediately implement a program for locally generated training in anti-racism and anti-oppression at each station. Further resolve that this program be coordinated with the Signal Area Committees of Inclusion and a wide range of other interested parties within the foundation for advice and recommendation on this matter. So basically all we're adding is that this step of training be preceded by standard created by the national committee and to be used by the local committee.
To be approved by the board.
It's been moved and seconded.
To be approved by the board.
Yeah. Are there any questions?
Who seconded that?
Dave. Any objections? Hearing none, it's approved. I understood that a sheet has been circulated for a yellow sheet for.
Mr. Chair, the motion.
Would you please circulate it because we're getting ready to go into public comment.
And Mr. Chair,
yes.
The motion by Director Adelson to make changes in the agenda, was that passed without objection?
No, I told him I would take that under consideration and do it without a motion. You don't need any formal action for that.
There's no motion to that.
Yeah. LeVar?
Mr. Chair, I would just like to amend the motion, I guess get a vote, that perhaps we could have the hotel bring someone in and we can order our lunch so make sure we're back and perhaps have a working lunch.
Don't need a motion? But hello? Okay. It's a buffet. Okay.
I would also like mention that we have an hour and a half for lunch, so we still have an hour with the new time allotment.
Why don't we just appear on time at the assigned time when it's time to come back and resume our business? But let's take a break. We need it.
We have. You need a break. You're a half hour late. What are you talking about? And we have scheduled, if you look at the agenda calls for public participation from 11 to noon and a lunch break from noon to 1:30. So we're going to collapse that. We don't need all that time for lunch. And so if you'll circulate the list so that we can go into public participation. Okay. Jim Weber and Bill Mandel. Those are the first two names. Let's do it.